how were you able to prioritize, let's say, that was your number one, to a person that is like trying to build a business? I mean, like sometimes it's kind of work.
Yeah. So this is about true about anything you're prioritizing. What I do is understand your relationship with circumstances. And circumstances are what exists outside of us, and they're completely uncertain. You cannot predict circumstances. If you could, we could all be billionaires together. If you can guarantee me what the circumstances tomorrow are, I promise you I know how to make billions of dollars for all of us. It's just impossible. So understanding your relationship to circumstances is really important. So dividing up, knowing that everything outside of us is uncertain except for time, I can rely on time outside of me. Because if I say, everybody meet me here because lunch is going to be at noon, and you guys are all on time, even if they're not, we're all going to be here at the same time. If I said, come to the Diamond Lunch when you're hungry, we're fucked. Excuse my language. Right? Nobody will be there at the same time. So when we understand time and circumstance, think about this. I have to divide what's most important to me, and make it non-circumstantial. Because then I take the variable of circumstance out of it. And I also understand the characteristics of energy, where if I use non-circumstantial, non-negotiable behavior, like sleep, or my health, or my family, or my finance, or my faith, or my study of time, or my study of relativity, and I put a minimum amount of time that I'm committed to, regardless of circumstance, regardless of interest rates, weather, flights, whatever it is, I am going to have 90% of the exponentiality of my outcomes created by itself. So I personally spend a minimum of 7 hours a day on sleep. Every day, non-circumstantial. I actually have a sleep coach to help me because I travel 200 days a year in different cities. And so that's my number one non-negotiable, non-circumstantial behavior. And then two, people started at noon, so I had to start answering. Is that cool? All right. I didn't want to cannibalize. We told them people on stage. All right. So then the second one is my health. So sleep is health related, but it's much more. It's access of information as well, besides the most healthy thing that you can do, because you recover and access information by sleep. So those people, I'm in the sports industry for so many years, the best athletes that I knew that I represented, from Troy Aikman, Steve Young, Warren Moon, Evander Holyfield, they were experts at recovery. And they also were accessing information to plateau and grow for the next day. So then I do health, a minimum hour a day on my health, then a minimum amount of time with my family every day. Think about this. In the science of energy and time, 2 minutes a day of intentional behavior, 2 minutes a day of intentional behavior every day equals 2 hours on a Saturday. And if you don't believe me, anybody here take Spanish or a foreign language or have a kid that does it? Have you ever met a kid who studies Spanish 15 minutes a day every day and doesn't get an A? No such thing. Every kid who studies 15 minutes a day intentionally paying attention to that language, they get an A. How many kids do you know that study 15 hours on a weekend for a test and don't get an A? Almost all of them. Almost all of them. Even if Spanish is their first language. It's true. And so in that realm, you want to pay attention and give intention to what's most important to you and then make it non-negotiable. So my non-negotiable behavior, which is sleep, my health, my family, my finance, my faith, my relativity, studying relativity and time are non-negotiable, and they equal about total, believe it or not, 11 hours. 7 hours of sleep, 4 hours a day for the other. That leaves 13 hours every day. God guarantees you 24 hours a day, except for the last day of your life. Guaranteed, you'll be cheated the last day, hopefully just seconds, but it might be minutes and hours. But regardless, you should live your life this way because it's God's guarantee of the human experience that you get 24 hours every day. So now I have, 13 hours to do whatever I want. And now that's when prioritization comes into play. See, I've taken prioritization out of play for most of the most important things in my life Because if I take care of my sleep, my health, my family, my finance, my faith, my relativity, and my time, I can do whatever the F I want, and it can be circumstantial, right? Because the circumstances will change. So now I know that 13 hours is non-circumstantial. I'm sleeping for more than half of it. So it makes it even easier because I don't give a shit about the interest rates, the weather, the airplanes that I'm on. I don't give a shit about people calling me. It doesn't matter because I got plenty of time. I got literally 13 hours to prioritize it. So that's why I study time to make sure I know planned, unplanned, paid for, unpaid for, and my sleep again. So that's how I'm deciphering what's important to me. Planned things are more important than unplanned things. Paid for things to me, doesn't mean for you, paid for things are more important than unpaid for things. But I also am studying the empty space in my calendar so I can reprioritize according to the circumstances. And I have a parking place to quickly decipher and prioritize. Prioritization is so important because it gets rid of the two things that will stop you from getting to where you want to be personally and professionally. Number one, feeling overwhelmed. If you know how to prioritize, you know what to do now and you know what to do next, you can't feel overwhelmed because you actually feel abundant. Like, holy shit, I got more than enough stuff I can do. Options, opportunities, touches of favor. And I know how to prioritize it. And I feel good about the fact I'll never get everything done because I live in a world of more than enough of everything. So how could I ever get it all done in one day? So I just want to prioritize and reprioritize according to the circumstances. And by the way, none of it really matters because it only impacts 10% of your life because I've taken care of 90% of the impact I want by making things non-negotiable and non-circumstantial. Prioritization is the antidote to feeling overwhelmed and procrastinating. Never met one person that knows how to prioritize that feels overwhelmed or procrastinates. So I'll ask them, what are you doing now? This is one of my favorite questions around all of my employees. Hey man, what are you doing now? If they can't answer me, I'm pissed. And then comes the big question, what are you gonna do next? If they don't know, I'm pissed. Because I know they don't know what's important to them, not what's missing, not what they don't have, not some urgent thing like getting milk for their kid on the way home. That's urgent, but it's not important because they can't do it until he goes home. But people make it urgent and important when it shouldn't be. Urgency is a subset of importance and allows you to reprioritize. That's what urgency does because it's circumstantial, right? Because if it wasn't, it would already been planned and put into your time. Does that help?
Can I say, or do you think organization is the first thing to get everything, as you say, done?
Organization?
Yeah.
Depends on how you look at organization. So for me, organization is knowing what's important to me within five aspects. And I'll be happy to send all of you the five daily practices that help you with organizing, as you call it. So for me, it's practice. And so there's five practices. Remember, practice is what creates progress. Good practice creates good progress. Bad progress or bad practices interfere with your progress. But you're the only one that knows your progress because you know where you want to be or better. I don't. And it can't be determined by what's missing, what you don't have, or what other people want for you. So in order to organize, I organize or practice my activities by one, what's important to me today in alignment with where I think I want to be according to the circumstances of the day. Now I align the meaning of my past with where I think I want to be or better because it's the meaning that you give your past experiences, which is failure, setbacks, mistakes, defining moments, historical relevances and perspectives, all these different things. Most people limit themselves because they feel punished by their past or limited by it. Not me. I align it in my divine direction. So I'm aligning what I want with the meaning to expand my imagination, my self-image, because I know I'll never overachieve my imagination or my self-image. And it's infinite. Your self-image is infinite. Why would that be? Because of my faith. Because I'm part and part of the infinite, the omniscient, all-powerful, all-knowing myself. So, of course, I'm infinite, but I'm always limiting my infiniteness with all types of different reactions to fear. So I know what I want personally, experientially, giving and receiving outside of the non-negotiables because I don't have to think about 90% of my progress because I already have made a commitment to be non-negotiable and make it non-circumstantial. Sleep, health, family, finance, faith, relativity and time, non-negotiable. Now I know what I want according to the circumstances, the meaning, and expansion of my self-image or my infinite being. Now, second thing you want to do in organizing, as you call it, is know who. Fastest way to get to the divine direction you want to be in is find someone in the divine direction to give you directions of the divine direction, or help someone else with their own divine direction. Equal in power. You will get there just as fast helping someone else get into their divine direction as you getting help into yours. I think you need to do both. They're equal value. Nobody gets to the divine direction by only asking for help, and nobody gets there by not helping others. It's a giving and receiving an infinite loop. Third, how? So I'm organizing my day by what I want, who I can help and who can help me, and then how best according to the circumstances of the day am I negotiating the 13 hours of negotiable behaviors, variant behaviors, according to the circumstances of today. So I figure out my how by separating or organizing activity I get paid for, activity I don't, activity planned, activity I don't have planned. That's the empty space in my calendar. And I'm always reminding myself that my number one non-negotiable is sleep. So I always have in there, which is why I have a sleep coach. Someone made my stomach hurt, but then be happy because they're like, how much have you paid in personal development? I'm like, millions. I can't figure it out. And they said, well, how about your sleep coach? And I'm like, shit, I paid $1,500 a month for 18 years every month on my sleep. And I thought, wow, that's $250,000 or so, I think. I'm not that good at math. But I've probably made $25 to $50 million from that investment. Asking for directions on how to recover and access information to make me more successful. And I will tell you, in the first 5 years of having a sleep coach, $1,500, I was bankrupt when I started. It really hurt. I had, you know, a new baby, I had four kids. I was recovering from losing over $100 million. $1,500 isn't like it is today. It hurt for 5 years, but I kept telling myself, I know that if I sleep better, that I'll be more productive, accessible, and gracious. I know I'll be more efficient, effective, and statistically successful. I know that I'll recover better. I'm only getting older. That's another rule of human experience. Only getting older, and I want to recover better and access information to help me in my divine direction so I can help other people in theirs. Those are the two things that we need to do in order to get into the divine direction. So know your what, your who, and your how. If you know your what, your who, and your how in the context of negotiable and non-negotiable, you're able to prioritize according to the circumstances and not according to the circumstances. In essence, the fifth daily practice is not searching for your why. Anybody here searching for the meaning of life or their purpose or their why? Don't be afraid. Raise your hand. Thank you for being honest. Most people are. What I teach people to do, and I'm happy to teach you, is to apply your why. Because remember where we started. You asked me, how do you have so much energy? We all do. I'm just interfering with less than anybody. So in other words, I'm applying my why. My why is omniscient, all-powerful, and all-knowing, and I'm part of it. My thoughts about it are the thoughts about the purpose of it. But I apply my why to life. I don't search for it because I have faith. And it's not proven faith. It's literally a best option faith that says, anybody here, tell me something better to believe in than something that's omniscient and all-powerful and loves me more than my mom. Simplify it for yourself. Someone asked me, Dave, you believe in Jesus Christ? I said, does Jesus Christ, is he omniscient and all-powerful and love me more than my mom? Yes. Oh, yes, I do. Right? I do. And it's the best option I can think of because it allows me to live in my divine direction. It makes every detour, when evidence is not there or contrary to where I want to be, it makes every detour divine as well because I have faith that I'm being protected, promoted, and loved. Even when I lost $100 million, went bankrupt, I sat there. It didn't take minutes and moments like it does today, but it did take weeks, months, and a couple of years until I realized, holy shit, there was no evidence that losing everything, including my mom's house, was somehow protecting me, promoting me, and loving me, and perfecting me. There was no evidence. It was all contrary. All I could think of when it happened was, holy shit, what did I do to God? I actually said to my mom, I don't believe in God. And my mom looked at me and she said, oh, smirked. I lost her house. Only reason I wanted to be rich, buy her a house. And she looked at me at that time and said, oh, you believe in God? You just believe in the wrong God. And it took me a while to realize I was saved. Saved by contrary evidence. Nobody around me was going, man, you are so lucky you lost everything, including your mom's house. You are so blessed. God must love you. Except for my wife, who knew that that's what it was going to take in order for me to stay in alignment with where my potential lied and to continue to pursue it instead of ending up dead or divorced.
Quick question. Have you read the book Becoming Supernatural from Joseph Person?
So I do a lot with Dr. Joe. We've done VIP dinners together. I have studied that book, and I've done masterminds with him on specifically that book.
Because this has, with everything that you just mentioned right now, how to be most likely maintaining the frequency, that way you can be on straight line frequency and most likely accomplish everything and about the gods and everything that you just mentioned. So.
Yeah, so frequency is extremely important. That's why I do this. He knows that. My frequency is my neighborhood. My frequency, my neighborhood. I love unsubscribers. You know, my digital marketing guy is like, dude, you cannot keep inviting everybody that, like, if you anybody here on my text messages, does anybody invite you to more shit than me? No. I tell people all the time, do not join my text message frequency neighborhood unless you want to be invited, because you will unsubscribe if it offends you or you feel obligated or it bothers you. Don't join. I look at unsubscribers and I say, these are not people in my neighborhood. They're not in my frequency. They're protecting me. I think everyone should study their unsubscribers as much as their subscribers to what they believe in. Your frequency is everything. I'm one of the world's best content captures because I know how to capture my frequency. Not the best modifier, editor, amplifier. I'm pretty good at perpetuating my essence, but you need to know your frequency for everything. And Dr. Joe knows more about the neuroscience of it as well. One of the things that will help you understand frequency is think about time to a clock is your brain to your mind. And I like, because I know a lot about Dr. Joe, to simplify it to you. So when I'm thinking about my brain, I'm thinking about it as time to a clock. So my mind and time, right? The brain and the clock are the same. Mind to the brain. So
that's a little bit deeper, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's why repetition is important. But to that matter, please get my contact information. I love to grow the neighborhood, the frequency. We love it here, and I'm of service and value. I want to build a huge neighborhood. We have thousands of people in our private networking group. It's just people, if you want to help people and know people to help people, you want to be in a community of people, that's why they're there, to ask for help and to give it. There's no better... If you build a community like this one, or you're a part of it, where people want to help each other, know people that help it, they buy from each other and sell for each other for life. And I promise you, the bigger your neighborhood of people that are buying from you and selling for you for life, the more successful you give me any trade, you will be successful. That's how success is made, by frequency or a neighborhood.